So today we're continuing with our introduction to the Holy Spirit. Specifically, today we're going to trace his activity through the Old Testament. And as we said last week, the Holy Spirit is only specifically noted about 100 times in the Old Testament, which covers about 4,000 years of history from creation to the beginning of the 400-year silence of God before Christ appeared in the New Testament times. In contrast to the New Testament, where he is mentioned, the Holy Spirit's mentioned 261 times, covering about 100 years of time, okay? So obviously the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was a game changer in several ways, which we will not get into today, but we will in future weeks. But this is continuing our introduction to the Holy Spirit. We saw last week, or the last time we met, it was 2 weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit was there at creation, all right? Identified as the breath of God or the wind of God. Proverbs chapter 8 is a first person account by the Holy Spirit of his existence before creation and his participation in the events that unfolded during the creative process. I hope you remember some of that. Just to remind you, Proverbs 8:30-31 says, "Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men." Now, I get the impression here that the creation of the earth and of man were events of great joy to the Godhead. If you think about it, from eternity past, there was this plan in place by God to create the earth, to create this universe, and to create man to inhabit the earth. And we can just imagine that finally getting to the point when he would bring this all to fruition must have been a work of great pleasure to our God. And when he saw man, after he created man and woman, and saw what he created, he said, "It's all good," right? It's all very good, if you remember that from Genesis. So who doesn't rejoice in a job well done? Even we do, right? When we have a project to do and we get it done, there's a great amount of satisfaction in that, isn't there? And you can imagine that God, as we are made in his image, also experienced that. And I think that several places in the scripture, this joy of God in his creation is made evident to us. We're not going to get into that in detail today, but just think about that. Even a child, when they have done something that you've given them to do, for instance, to clean their room, clean their bedroom, right? What happens after their room is all picked up, all vacuumed, beds all made, everything put away? Where do they want to be in the whole house? They want to be in their room, right? They want to be where everything is organized and clean and done, and they're happy in that environment. And I think that God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ just rejoiced at the work of creation, at the completion of the amazing work of creation. I mean, to think what God did in 6 days is mind-boggling, right? I mean, we can't even, you know, imagine the amount of time it would take to travel to the furthest star. And God put it all in place in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Imagine the joy and pleasure that the Godhead shared at that moment. Now, what we want to do today is I want to review the people that are named in the Old Testament as having encountered, been led, filled, empowered, convicted by, anointed by, and prophesied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm using for reference is a couple of pages from that the book that Pastor is using in our classes on Wednesday night and Sunday afternoon, the Through the Bible and the theology class. And that book is about this thick, and it is chock full of information. And I found in that book the synopsis of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And I think it'd be good to just walk through this. There are 26 men mentioned that had encounters of some sort with the Holy Spirit, all right, in the Old Testament. And we're going to just go through them. I'll give you the name and this and one scripture that we can look up, and we'll try to move through this fairly quickly this morning. So we talked about creation. The next time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament isn't until we see Joseph in Genesis 41. You remember we talked a little bit about Joseph last week. If you turn there, Genesis 41, it's 40 chapters after creation before the Holy Spirit appears in Scripture again. Genesis 41 and verse 38. And we read there, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" That's Joseph. He was recognized as a man who the Spirit of God is. And we mentioned last week, it's very probable that Joseph and Daniel, and there were very likely others that believed in God from a young age, and the Holy Spirit indwelt them throughout their lives, all right? Similar as he does in the New Testament. We're not told that, but we see in this instance, and we can read their account of Joseph and Daniel, and everything they did appeared to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? They lived lives that apparently were led by the Holy Spirit. But basically we're looking at this one event where he is recognized by a Pharaoh as having the Spirit of God within him. The next one we see is in Exodus chapter 31. Turn there, Exodus chapter 31. And interestingly, we'll see the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in every chapter of the Old Testament. Okay? In the New Testament, he occurs over and over and over again. But in the Old Testament, he's not in every chapter. All right? Let's see, where are we here? Exodus 31, verse 3. Let's start at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones," and so on. I won't read all of it. But here we see the Spirit of God empowering a man to create beautiful works for the tabernacle, the construction of the tabernacle, okay? I mean, we see beautiful buildings, beautiful artwork. We see beautiful things in our world. But God empowered several of these men, just common men, craftsmen, to work on his tabernacle. Okay, where he would be present with his children. And he didn't want to leave it up to man's own, creativity. He wanted to make sure that it was made to his glory, okay, so that he received the glory for what he created, all right, and what these men put together. Look at Numbers 11, we'll see Moses. Numbers 11. Just a second. Numbers 11. Verse 16. Numbers 11, verse 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Now God obviously empowered Moses, right, through the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he used him. He filled him when he met him at the burning bush, and he used him from then on to lead and guide his people. I believe the Holy Spirit empowered Moses throughout that whole time, okay? But we see here that not only Moses was filled with the Spirit, but God took that Spirit, that same Spirit, and he empowered 70 of the elders to assist Moses and to help him to rule over the people in wisdom. The next one is, we looked at the 70 elders, is Eldad and Medad. Look at Numbers chapter 11, in the same chapter, Numbers chapter 11, verse 26. We see two of these men that were of the 70 elders actually exercising the work of the Holy Spirit among the people. Numbers 11, 25. "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him," that's Moses, "and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." Let's keep reading. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, "Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the Moses servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My lord, Moses, forbid them." And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Isn't that amazing? God only gave the spirit in this time to Moses and the 70 elders. And Moses says, almost prophetically, "Oh, that God would shed his spirit upon all of the people." And what has he done in our day? He's done exactly that. The next one is Numbers 24. Numbers 24. And we're looking at verse 1. Numbers 24, verse 1. "And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel." And he continues with a poem, if you will, as the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Even though he was a greedy and false prophet at times, God used him to bless his people in spite of his own desires to please their enemies. Number 14, Numbers 14, so we're going back a little bit. Numbers 14. Verse in verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, when Joshua and Caleb came back from going into the land, they had a totally different report from the other 10 men that were sent, that Joshua sent, right? They had a totally different report. And I think that this is an indication here that the Spirit of God had come upon them, and he continues to use Caleb and Joshua pretty much throughout their lives. So for Joshua, let's look at Numbers 27, 18. Numbers 27, 18. See there, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So he's preparing Joshua to take over Moses' place, okay? And he gives him the Spirit to do that, to empower him to lead God's people. Judges chapter 3. So we skip the book of Joshua into Judges. Judges chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Shushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Shushan-Rishathaim. So here we see the Lord empowering a man in battle, okay, to overcome Israel's enemies. And we'll see that in a number of places where we see the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Let's look at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Amazingly, during this period of the Judges, when Israel is going, you know, up and down and up and down their relationship with God, the Holy Spirit is mentioned a number of times in this book. Judges chapter 6 and verse 34. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So we know the story of Gideon. And here he is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to win Israel's battles against their enemies. And he ruled over them for 40 years. Let's look at Judges chapter 11. We'll see another judge. Again, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Judges chapter 11, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over under the children of Ammon. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah again to empower him to lead God's people against their enemies. And then we come to Samson. Look at Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. Probably one of the least likely characters that you would imagine the Holy Spirit of God would want to use is this man, Samson, who just had a horrible character. I mean, he was selfish, he was self-serving, and boastful and proud. But the Holy Spirit of God, again, used him as these other men in Judges to conquer his enemies, to conquer God's enemies and Israel's enemies. Judges 13, verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And in 14, verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. So the Lord used him from time to time. So evidently the Spirit of God came and went upon Samson, all right? But he used him on six different occasions at least. So let's look at Saul in 1 Samuel. So we go over to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're getting a 30,000 foot scan of the Old Testament here. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. And we see Israel's first king. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is Samuel. He has anointed Saul as their king. And he says to Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And of course we know that Saul didn't wait for Samuel. He disobeyed Samuel. But the Spirit of God came upon Saul for a specific reason as the first king of Israel. And then we see in 1 Samuel 19, he comes upon a group of prophets. 1 Samuel 19. Verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David. So here he is chasing David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. So if you remember the story, Saul sent men to find David, but God sent the Spirit onto them, into them, and they prophesied. And Saul sent more men, and the Spirit of God filled them, and they prophesied. So we see the Spirit of God using men to lead Israel into battle. We see him filling men in order that they can prophesy and tell the future or teach the truth of God to the people. But he's not there continuously. He's not upon these people continuously. The Spirit of God is given and taken away, okay? So that's very important that we understand how different the Holy Spirit of God acts and is used of God in the Old Testament. Now we come to David. Let's look at 1 Samuel 16. Go back a couple of chapters. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, this is David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Okay? That's an important point there. He is anointed as king, And the Holy Spirit of God comes upon David from that day forward. And then it says in verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So the Lord took the spirit of the Holy Spirit away from Saul. He had basically given up on Saul, you know, according to his perfect will and plan. And he anointed David to be king. But there's a difference here, isn't there, between Saul and David? Because Saul, the Holy Spirit came upon Saul from time to time, as God ordained. But with David, it says, he came upon him from that day forward. And we see the Spirit of God basically leading David through his life from that day on. Remember in his confession in Psalm 51, he says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So David had the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, from this point when he was anointed king onward, and God filled him, just as he did Moses, right? When God anointed Moses to lead his people, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had the Holy Spirit for the remainder of his life. It's interesting, isn't it, that in some cases, the Holy Spirit is used to accomplish a certain task, and then other times, and then taken away, and then other times, rarely, we see that he is given to a man for the remainder of his years of service, his years of life. All right? As I said, we see Joseph, Daniel, and here we see David, and we know that Moses was filled with the Spirit. All right, let's see. Let's move on. What time are we? Let's look at Elijah real quick. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Verse 12. I'll read from let's start at verse 10. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay thee. And he shall slay me. I'm sorry about that. So that is, we see Obadiah's testimony there, that the Lord could take Elijah and relocate him, okay, without him telling Obadiah. Look at 2 Kings verse 2. 2 Kings verse 2. I'm sorry, not verse 2. Chapter 2, 2 Kings 2:10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on, so this is Elijah talking to Elisha, because Elisha asks the question in verse 9. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken from thee, then you shall receive the spirit that's upon me. And it came to pass in verse 11, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And we know that the Spirit of God came upon Elisha. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Verse 1. 2 Chronicles 15:1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. So the Spirit of God is now starting to use men to prophesy. He's filling them with the Spirit that they might prophesy and tell what is going to happen in Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he tells them what God's directions are for them. That's Jehaziel, not a person you think of as being filled with the Holy Spirit, but God, he was a prophet that God used among his people. And then 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones, at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Here's a man who the Holy Spirit filled for this moment to testify against the wicked, and the wicked destroyed him. Okay? Can anybody name a person in the New Testament that this similar thing happened to? Stephen, right? You know, you would think, oh my, this is awesome. The Lord's filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they're he's giving them the words to speak, and they're declaring the will of God, okay, and the desires of God, and then they're killed. You're like, what's with that? They're doing the Lord's bidding. They're in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord takes their life. He allows their lives to be taken. But it happened in the New Testament as well. And you know, that's the work of the Lord. You know, we can't question it. He's the potter and we are the clay, right? But for some reason, he filled these men with the Spirit of God, and then he took them off the earth. Let's see. Let's look at Job chapter 33. Job 33, just before Psalms. Now, this is interesting. This is Elihu, the fourth of Job's so-called friends, who has come to shed his wisdom upon Job. And look at verse 4, Job 33. And he says, The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty, that word breath is spirit, and meant means the Spirit of God, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Now, in this case, we kind of have to wonder if it was actually the Spirit of God or if it was his own spirit that came upon him and gave him all this wisdom, because the Lord basically rebukes these friends of Job at the end of his trial, all right? But he claims the Holy Spirit empowered him. Let's look at Acts 28. Interestingly, this is about an Old Testament character, but it's recorded in Acts in the New Testament, chapter 28. Acts 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. And this is what Paul said. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. So he's quoting Isaiah. It says the Holy Ghost spake through Isaiah, basically saying that the children of Israel would hear but not understand. They would see the work of God, but not really, they'd be blind to it. All right? So that's the only mention of the Spirit regarding Isaiah. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Considering the whole book of Isaiah. And then we look at Ezekiel, another prophet. Ezekiel 2:2. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ezekiel. No. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Lamentations. No. Oh, I'm all messed up this morning. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Whew. Wow. Ezekiel 2:2. It says here, I'll read verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even this very day. So Ezekiel empowers God by sending the Spirit of God upon him to do a mighty work. Now, interestingly, there are numerous references to the Spirit in the account of Ezekiel. And if you one, look them up. Just read through the book of Ezekiel or grab a concordance and you can see. I have a list here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 verses. And there are others in Ezekiel regarding the Spirit of God. Just a couple of examples. The Spirit allowed him to see both cherubim of God and the glory of God. The Spirit caused him to be unable to speak for a while. The Spirit transplanted him from Babylon to Jerusalem. The Spirit predicted through him that Israel would someday be indwelled by God himself. The Spirit explained to him the meaning of the Valley of Dry Bones. And the Spirit showed him the glories of the Millennial Temple. Amazing work that the Holy Spirit of God did through Ezekiel. Quickly, look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 in verse 8. I'm just going to go ahead and read. We're out of time here. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, and it This is Nebuchadnezzar recognizing that Daniel had a spirit that was not normal among men. There was something unique about that spirit. But he said, he called it the spirit of the holy gods. Micah chapter 3, verse 8. And it says there, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. And he goes on to pronounce judgment. The interesting thing here is that he says, I am full of the power of power by the Spirit of the Lord. He recognized that the Spirit of God had indwelt him and was using him. And then finally, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. We see there, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we're going to next week look at the various names. And I think you'll be surprised at the various names that the Holy Spirit has given throughout the Word of God. Okay? And we'll look at the unique meanings of each of those. Just as God himself has many names, right? Many, many names. And they each have a unique purpose, a unique definition, if you will, of his character. So the Holy Spirit has a number of different names that he's referred to by, and each one of them has a unique meaning as to the purpose and the character and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time to look through your Old Testament, to look at over 4,000 years of history and the few times that we see the Spirit of God mentioned. But Lord God, today we can look at each other and we recognize that those are born again, that are born again by salvation through Jesus Christ, are indwelt by that same Holy Spirit that did these mighty works in these kings, these prophets, these priests, through men like Samuel, through men like Daniel, Joseph. Father, it's amazing to comprehend the scope of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And yet, that same Spirit indwells us and empowers us to accomplish your will in our lives. Strengthen us, Father. Use the preaching and the singing and the worship, Lord God, in the next hour, to bring glory to your holy name, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.